Sandra Doran reflects on the blessings she's received from the financial ups and downs of a life filled with service. Your narrator is Tommy Baker. When I was 5 years old, my father chose to start his own business in order to be free to follow his religious convictions. Finley Screw Machine Products was launched with two loaned machines and my grandpa as the only employee. While the business would eventually grow to 45 employees, those early years were lean times for our family. We lived in a simple home with a postage stamp yard that was crowded between two other houses. Yet, what I remember most about my early life is not what we lacked, but what we had. A sense of warmth, optimism, and laughter pervaded our home. Through the years, whether we gathered around a Christmas tree laden with gifts or opened a few presents wrapped in newspaper, our quality of life remained the same. Our deeper values transcended material things. Similarly, having established my own home and family as an adult, I can look back at both lean and comfortable times. For the first 4 years of our marriage, my husband attended school to pursue pastoral studies while I worked, first as an elementary school teacher and then as a writer for the public relations department of a university. We took out no school loans, accepted no credit card offers, lived in two-room apartments, and portioned out my monthly paycheck into manila budget envelopes. If the money ran out at the end of the second or third week, we ate what remained on the shelves and limited our entertainment to games of Scrabble and Mastermind. When finally assigned to our first church, we found ourselves facing a six-week lag before the first paycheck. A church member offered us some late squash from his fall garden, and we boiled, fried, and mashed our way to 1 month of sustenance. Later, through pastoral appointments and a series of moves, our economic status varied as I chose to work part-time, full-time, or not at all. I quit a job as a copywriter when the secondhand smoke became too much for me to bear. I was released from college positions as an adjunct faculty member when enrollments declined and courses closed. Spread across the two pages of my Social Security earnings report, the story is played out in the peaks and dips of salaries throughout the years. Reflecting on all this, I find myself filled with gratitude for the times when money was tight. Specifically, I count 10 blessings that result from not being wealthy. While a student at Boston University working on an advanced degree with two children at home, I drove a car with no heat for 2 months during the winter. On my drive into the city, I wrapped up in a blanket. I'll never forget the joy with which I devoured a bagel and cream cheese at a crowded deli for lunch, relishing the thought that for just $1.50, I could eat and be filled. To this day, I don't cease to marvel at how richly I'm blessed when I download a new book to read, stop for a sandwich on the road, or purchase a potted plant on impulse. During the lean years, I sat for hours each month wrestling with an unwieldy budget. Somehow, after teasing a few dollars from this line item and a few cents from that one, I made things work. Breathing a prayer of thanks, I'd slip the scratched and blotted budget into the bills drawer and forget it for another 4 weeks. Even today, I know that whether a car breaks down or a dog unexpectedly winds up at the veterinary clinic, I can cut and slash my way to a leaner, meaner budget that will get us through. When we lived in New England, we took a week's vacation in Florida with our two small boys on money I'd saved from two published articles and a half month's grocery budget. We stayed with friends along the way, endured a 45-minute promotional for four free nights in a hotel, ate out sparingly, and visited only one theme park. Today, as a resident of the state, I'm even more creative in identifying alluring spots with no price tags attached. While tourists lay down $400 for a day's entertainment, I take my family resort hopping, discovering the giraffes that nibble leaves behind Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park, or riding the free shuttle boats between Universal's three posh hotels. Early in our marriage, I decided there was nothing more exquisite than a plastic ice cube tray that could produce miniature round cubes. Each month I determined to fit the under $5 item into the budget, then wincingly slashed it when the inevitable became apparent. 25 years later, I haven't forgotten the minister's wife who surprised me with the coveted item. The memory prompts me to perpetuate such acts of joy, filling me with richness each time I share. Answering an advertisement for head of school once, I found myself plunged into a long, raging battle between elitist factions of a posh nursery school. 2 years into the job, I realized the situation would never change, searched out my options, applied for the doctoral program at Boston University, and embarked on an adventure with no clear path for financing. 4 years later, I humbly accepted the doctoral hood, a symbol of the Lord's rich blessing in my life. With each job I accept, I know I have the freedom to stay or to go, to accept a paycheck or cut back, and rely on faith alone to sustain. Eager for a vacation with my husband a number of years back, I discovered the hotel where we'd honeymooned was running a writing contest. 8 paragraphs later, we were enjoying 3 days alongside the Atlantic Ocean, courtesy of the hotel. My sister-in-law tells me that in the early years of her marriage, she baked her way to an oak dining room table with 8 chairs. Through the lean times, I've learned that I don't always have to do without. A focused effort can yield results. I'm grateful that when they were young, Eric and Jeff stashed their clothes in the dressers I had when I was a teenager. Hand-me-downs allowed them a carefree childhood to play and get dirty. Today, both are happy with the simple things in life, and they don't need expensive things to buoy their self-worth as young men. Recently, I visited a friend who's a single mother with a minimum wage job. Seated on her worn but comfortable couch in a 2-room apartment, I looked around and decided that I too could be comfortable here. I've learned through the years that no matter how many pennies I have to pinch, certain givens always apply. A church congregation will open its arms to me. Every town has a public library, and given time and a keyboard, no limits exist to what I can write. Money doesn't dictate who I select as my friends, nor who I feel comfortable inviting to my home. I derive deep fulfillment from spending time with those who have very little, and I unabashedly serve the wealthy from paper plates in my dining room. Economic status simply doesn't enter into the equation. 25 years after my father took out a loan on 2 automatic screw machines, he decided to sell his business and retire. A lifetime of dedication was eradicated by a dishonest buyer who instantly destroyed his life's work. Bruised but not broken, Dad began a new business, running a few automatic screw machines with my mother in an unheated building. Within the next 5 years, that business, too, had thrived, and Dad retired, only to lose his savings through the mismanagement of funds by a financial advisor. Undaunted, he and my mother moved into an apartment, purchased a small recreational vehicle, and began driving it to Florida each winter. In 2003, Dad decided to permanently establish the RV in Florida. I drove to Punta Gorda to see my parents' pride and joy, watched my 80-year-old father work in the 90-degree heat attaching sheeting, and photographed my parents, flushed and smiling, in front of their simple winter home. Later, I saw those photos again, alongside more recent pictures. Beside my photos with the RV gleaming in the afternoon sun, the new images stood in stark contrast. The vehicle had been thrown to the street by Hurricane Charlie, a gaping hole in its roof, an insurance claim number spray-painted across the top. The Blue Book value didn't cover the replacement cost, but such things never deterred Dad. What we'll probably do, he thought aloud, is try to find some kind of trailer in the area for rent come January. Brightening, he threw in a little humor. I lost my bicycle, too. The neighbor's shed blew over on it. But I figure I won't ask him for anything, seeing as he's the one who gave it to me in the first place. My parents, as expected, were able to restart once again, reminding me that in the end, resilience and flexibility override material things. Some things don't depend on money. An indomitable spirit, a deep-flowing optimism, a sense of humor, a rock-hard faith. For such things, I will always be grateful to God and to the people and circumstances that have shaped my life.